Chapter 2. You know what I didn't miss? Traffic. 3 days ago, in the hot June sun, I was sat in my car for 40 minutes to an hour to make a trip that should only have taken 10 minutes. I hated left turns before the world ended, but now I liked them so much more. When I remembered that traffic was so much better because most people were dead or dying, it sobered my traffic glee. But it's the little things that get you through the day. Little things like only stopping for a few seconds at an intersection that took at least 6 minutes before. Little things like that made the day better. Something to bring your day back down was realizing most of your friends and family were dead, and there was no way to get in touch with them to really find out. Gotta get home. That's the goal. And you've got to have a goal in mind. If you focused on the bad details for too long, it would do bad things to your brain. So I tried not to. Instead, I tried to focus on the good things. It would probably take me under 20 minutes to get home. I'd make it in record time. Outside the warehouse, everything was tinted amber thanks to the smoke and dust blocking the sun. The entire Lowcountry looked like it belonged in a faded photograph from the 70s. Something else that looked like it belonged in the 70s was my car. The big body of my blue 77 Nova had taken a couple of hits throughout the years, but she still looked damn good. I put the purse and the katana on the seat next to me and started to drive. Apparently, I was the only jackass in town that was brave enough or stupid enough to be on the open road. I didn't see another soul until I found an old lady standing in the middle of my lane, facing the opposite direction. She had white hair and wore an old-style white and red floral dress. From what I could tell, she was just staring, not moving. It was creepy. "Lady," I called out, "are you all right?" She didn't respond. "Can you hear me?" Still no response. I tried again, louder this time. After all, my car did make a lot of noise. "Excuse me, miss, are you all right?" Still nothing. She just stared. I couldn't see her face. Her skin looked bruised. Not a good sign. But she could have been hurt. "Lady, I'm not going to do that stupid thing where I get out of the car." No movement. No noise. "I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, and I'm just going to go around you. But, just in case, I'm going to put my windows up first." I cranked the windows up. I put the car back into drive and made a slow detour around the white-haired statue. I kept my eyes on her, looking and hoping that once she saw the front of my car, she would be glad to see somebody. I was hoping she was just deaf and not demonic. I inched my way close enough to see her face. She was smiling. Not a little smile, not a pleasant smile, but a giant, wide-eyed, "Can I hold your baby so I can eat him?" kind of smile. She was definitely possessed, had the brown gums, the bloodshot eyes, the whole shebang. She continued to stare ahead, perfectly still, until her head jerked and she locked eyes with me. Then the smile got wider. "Oh, up yours, Paisley Patty." I threw the car into reverse and slammed on the gas. She ran towards me, going much faster than something her age should. She took the same leaping stance that Greg and Barnabas used in the warehouse. I didn't want her on top of the car, so I swerved into the other lane. I cut the wheel hard, gave the brake pedal a shove to point the blue battering ram at the demonic biddy, and then slammed on the gas to mow her down. I tried to hit her with the driver's side of the car, but the wiry old bag jumped again and landed on the hood in front of me. "Nope!" I drove for another half a second just to get her body up to the same inertia as the car, then slammed on the brakes and sent her flying into the street. I hammered on the gas again, and then I learned what it felt like to run over a human body. It was more violent than I could have imagined. The human body offered more resistance than expected. I turned the car back around, gathered speed, and hit the old bird one more time. It was less bumpy than the first time, but still rough. As I drove away, something exploded. From my rearview mirror, I saw tufts of white hair fall with other bits of viscera. Sign of a job well done. Do you ever get that feeling after your adrenaline gets going, like your earwax is liquid and it's going to fall out of your head. This was the second time today I've had that feeling. I used to only get it from near-death experiences, like being in a car wreck. But on this day, I got it from killing people. Well, not people, but you understand where I'm coming from. I turned onto Main Street next to a Bendy's. Nobody was waiting in the drive-thru, but no one would be working right now anyway. Just two more turns to make it before I made it home. I saw something run across the street about half a mile ahead. Whatever it was moved like it was scared. I wouldn't want to stay on Main Street for too long either. This place went bad when hell came to Earth. There are car wrecks everywhere, many causing downed power lines. All sorts of things left abandoned by people running for their lives littered the streets. What were they running from, you may ask? Take your pick. Plenty of shit went down 2 days ago. 3 days ago, everything was fine. But shortly after 6 p.m., 2 days ago, all hell broke loose. It all started with that sound. Oh, that sound. Whatever the hell it was. It sounded like train horns composed of bear roars and the slow sound of something very large being ripped apart slowly. All that lasted for about 10 minutes. Then things got worse. People started going crazy. Literally. Shouting things about the devil, that all hope was lost. People were clawing their eyes out or committing suicide right there on the spot. Then came the animals. Animals that were the size of cars. There were giant birds coming from the sky, swooping down and grabbing clusters of people, just to fly up to a lethal altitude and drop them. Dogs, cats, rodents, bugs, all enormous in size, were doing things that animals had no business knowing how to do. They were opening car doors, ripping people out. Groups of these things were working to herd people together and then massacre the gathered humans. They know how to kill people, quickly and efficiently, like they are trying to meet a quota. On top of all that, there were sounds of explosions. We learned from the news that warships, submarines, and weapon bases all over the world were emptying their payloads into seemingly random directions. Luckily, there were no nukes. I didn't understand how or why, but I was glad. Maybe they hit somewhere else, but I hadn't seen any mushroom clouds, and there weren't any reports of nukes yet. I really hoped that it stayed that way. What did I do when all this started happening? I was standing in my work bay at the warehouse, and I looked to the same place I looked whenever I felt happy, lonely, or whenever I had a moment to spare. I looked at Katie. This time, I decided not just to look anymore. So in a time when most of my coworkers were running for their lives, I ran to Katie in her workshop. The lights were still on at that point. Her blonde hair was pulled back in a ponytail. Her freckles were visible under a thin layer of makeup that she didn't need. I need you to know that I'm crazy about you. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen on this earth. Your husband is a jackass. I never planned what I was going to say. It may have been a little rushed, but I knew that if I died before I told her how I felt, it would kill me. For a long moment, she didn't say a word. Then she walked up to me, put both hands around my head, stared into my eyes and said, "Ex-husband." We kissed. I don't remember who kissed who. I don't think it was a one-sided thing. Her lips were soft as, I don't know, I suck at metaphors. She tasted like if strawberry jam had an older, sexier sister. See, I told you I suck at this. We left the warehouse, holding each other close and running for our lives. I drove like a madman. Her arms were wrapped around my chest so tight that I could feel my ribs push against her with every breath. We drove through clouds of smoke, past herds of people running from grotesque and giant animals, and it seemed like every second was punctuated with another car wreck or another scream. By some miracle, we made it to my house. We separated long enough to get our clothes off, finally getting closer than we ever had before. In order to keep it classy, I won't go into too many details. However, I will say this. Looking at Katie's body helped me forget there was an apocalypse going on. Back to the present. I was more than ready to get back home to Katie. I weaved my car through the abandoned vehicles on the road and went over the train tracks. Yet, as I went around a sideways 18-wheeler, I had to slam on the brakes. That is a big, damn bug. Right in the heart of town square was a mosquito as tall as a church steeple. It was giant, gray, and had hundreds of hairs that looked like swords covering its body. The eyes were red, shiny, terrifying. Its thorax, or whatever you call the ass end of it, was as big as a school bus and looked like a bulging sack of nightmare fuel, filled with dead human bodies. At least, I hoped they were dead. If they weren't already, they wouldn't survive much longer. It was walking down town square and sucking up corpses off the ground with its schnoz, you know, the thing that any other mosquito would use to suck blood. The head of the behemoth mosquito suddenly turned to the side and revealed that it had reins. Something was riding or even driving that thing, and whatever that was had just noticed me. The rider was human-shaped, but definitely not human. The gorilla-sized purple and black rider shouted and pointed in my direction. The mosquito started to take several giant strides towards me. I decided that now would be a great time to get the hell out of there, pun not intended. I did not want to die suffocating on a pile of corpses inside a giant mosquito ass. No thank you. The engine roared, and I dodged the first spiky leg that came crashing down. Now I was under the damn thing. This close to the body sack, I could see that all inside were dead. Nothing inside was asking for help. I aimed for a gap in between its legs on the other side and went as fast as I could go. Just as I thought I was in the clear, there was a loud bang and my car shook horribly. The purple and black rider had apparently dismounted and just crashed onto the trunk of my car. I owned and maintained this car for more than 15 years, and now this jackass decides to go and wreck it. I grabbed my katana, threw open the door. As I stepped out of the car, I drew the blade and threw the sheath back in. Hi, asshole. I'm Ernie. My name is Ernie, by the way. Ernie Wood. Oh, shit. I forgot about the mosquito. How could I forget about the mosquito? The gorilla that just crashed into my car stepped down into the road. It had the shape of a man, but its body was covered in fur, black on the arms and legs, and a dark purple on the chest and head. The skin that was exposed was black and lined with cracks. On its head were a pair of horns that swept back from the forehead over the top of its skull. The whole thing stood an impressive 9 feet tall. Well, what's your name? I asked. It spread its legs and bellowed a long roar in response. As it shouted at me, I backed away from the car and kicked the door shut. As I moved, I positioned myself to keep the gorilla goat and the giant mosquito in my line of sight. Maybe I wouldn't make it home in record time, but I was determined that I would still make it home. The purple-black Muppet reject grabbed a whip from its waist, unfurled it, and cracked it in the air. It shouted something in a language I didn't understand. It didn't take its eyes off me, but cocked its head to the side and shouted 5 syllables at the mosquito. The mosquito's wings rose into the air and then flapped up and down. Each time they moved, they gained speed. The beast with the whip smiled, and I could see its muscles tense. It was waiting for something. The wings beat faster, and as the mosquito lifted off the ground, all the dust, leaves, and every small piece of debris was blown into the air. When I tried to shield my eyes from the dust, the purple-black thing swung its whip hard across my chest. Then it took 2 long strides and tried to kick me as I reacted to the pain, but I was able to jump to the side. The whip stung. Not like a bee sting. A deep, dark, primal sting. That feeling went all the way from shoulder to belly button. The wind from the mosquito became less powerful. I took a quick look around to see if it was going to circle around and come for me, but it was heading towards the interstate, in a northern or maybe western direction. Kind of hard to tell exactly where at the moment. At least I won't have to worry about dying that way. The thought of smothering to death in the ass of a giant insect on top of a pile of corpses was the worst thought I'd had so far that day. The purple-black gorilla beast moved again. I dodged to the right, not knowing what to expect, and the whip came down hard where I stood just a moment ago. The thing came at me again, swinging the whip in an arc, sideways, and grabbing at me with its free hand. Thankfully, I was a little faster than the horned hellion, and the sheer size of the thing made its movements easy to read. But with its size and strength, if it got a hold of me, I would not be making it home to Katie. I imagined it would probably squeeze my guts out like toothpaste from its tube. I trotted backwards, doing my best to glance down the road to keep my path clear, and keep my eyes on the purple goat monkey as much as I could. I was out of range of the whip. As the beast turned towards me again, I noticed something reflective on its stomach. "Those look familiar," I said to myself. On the beast's stomach were three diamond-shaped stones that matched the one I found where Greg's belly button should have been. They were lined in a vertical row. When I took Greg's stone out, his body exploded. I wanted to know what would happen if I took out one of these. I ran at the beast, switched my katana over to my left hand, and the horned bastard swung down his whip again. I tried to slash at it and counter the whip with my sword, but in the heat of the moment, I couldn't tell if I accomplished anything. It didn't feel like I accomplished anything. I was almost within reach, so I pointed my blade at its belly. It tried to punch me straight on, so I dodged a little to the right and put my right hand on the pommel of my sword, and the blade sank deep into the flesh of the beast on the left side of the middle stone. The 9-foot gorilla roared and grabbed me with both hands. In the same instant, I reached into its flesh and got a good hold around the stone. The beast screamed and started to clamp down on my body with its hands, but I put a foot onto its abdomen and pulled with all my might. The stone came free, and suddenly, the purple-black gorilla goat was a lot more purple than black, and it shrunk about 4 feet. My hands were covered in blood again, but I couldn't help but smile. The stone started to glow and became too hot to handle. I backed away and threw the stone at the shrunken beast's head. It flew past and then exploded on the other side. The horn on the left side of its head broke, and its hair and flesh were singed from the blast. My left, not its left, just in case you were wondering. The beast staggered sideways, and I decided not to waste the opportunity. Gripping my katana with both hands, I circled to the right side and swung the blade at the back of its knee. The blade sank in, but it didn't cut all the way through. The monster's leg buckled, and I pulled the sword free as it went down on its knee. I took another step and lined up my cut. I lifted the sword high and aimed the thickest part of the blade to cleave downward through the beast's skull. I assume it's a he. I haven't noticed any lady bits. The bite on my arm that Greg and Bartimus gave me in the warehouse burned with pain as my back and arms pulled the sword down with every ounce of urgency I could afford. As the blade cut through its head and into its neck, the damn head exploded. I should have seen that coming. This time, I got a lot of things in my mouth. Bah! I tried to get it out. Typical. Just typical. After spitting enough times to get my saliva to come out its normal color, I inspected my sword to make sure it was okay. It was covered in viscera, so I wiped as much as I could on the purple fur of the thing I just killed. The blade had some singe marks, but luckily no nicks or warps. I noticed one of the creature's horns on the ground. It was still pretty much intact. I picked it up as a souvenir. The gorilla body was now without its head, and what remained of its neck poured thick brown blood onto Main Street. I need a mask or something if I'm going to keep this up. I walked back to the car, trying to wipe my face clean with the inside of my shirt. I gave the damage to the rear end of the car a quick look-see. The trunk wouldn't open again unless I cut the damn thing off, but after taking a look underneath, I was satisfied that the rear axle wasn't bent. I got back into the car, sheathed my katana, tossed the chunk of horn into the back seat, and started the drive home. On the remainder of the drive, I saw two more mosquito behemoths. Each was already airborne and had a full payload of corpses in their ass sacks. Both seemed to be heading in the direction of the first, towards the northwest. They didn't seem interested in me, and I didn't go out of my way to bother them. After a few short minutes, I pulled into my driveway of my little one-story brick house. It felt good to be home. I grabbed my katana, my girlfriend's bra purse, and the bit of horn I picked up from my third kill today. I opened the front door to find a beautiful, blonde-haired, freckled-faced woman waiting for me, and she did not look happy.